Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also text to give by texting the letters LK and the number 638 to the telephone number 41444. And that's LK638 to the number 41444. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right hand corner, and you can use our online form or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 8 through 9. Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 8 through 9. When you have it, say amen. And I'm reading from the King James Version, and I ask that we all read it in unison. Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 8 through 9. And the word of the Lord reads, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, and perceive not. But perceive not." Turn with me now to another Old Testament man by the name of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 and 31. When you have it, say amen. And let us read this one together in unison. And the word of the Lord reads, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord our God." Two very powerful passages of scripture. Last Sunday I talked to the women. This Sunday I want to talk to the men. And for a subject this morning, I want all the males, I want you all to repeat after me. I want to hear the men repeat after me. Say, wanted. Wanted. No, y'all got to say it like y'all men. Say, wanted.
Wanted.
A few. Gap men. That's G-A-P. Wanted. A few gap men. I thank God for the men of true holiness, because here indeed iron truly sharpens iron. And I want to thank them, for they are men who diligently seek after the word and come to Bible study, and they pose challenging questions, and they make me have to stay before God to get answers and to seek and to find, to make sure I can expound upon the scripture clearly. And then God also uses them to give me insight on scripture. Iron sharpens iron. This Bible study, my brother Will opened up a passage of scripture and shared with me an insight, and I say, oh my goodness, that was powerful. And I'm still researching this some more, but that thing was good. But I like that, because the men are learning the word. Now, I'm going to ask you all this morning to be patient with me. I had a hard time this morning getting all this from God and putting it together. Not hard in that it was difficult, but hard in that it touched my spirit, that at points and times I had to break down and cry. So, like a coach in the locker room that tells his team, men, today's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. But if you just bear with me and listen to me, I promise you in the end, it will all work itself out and make sense. So what I'm asking you today is, it may seem like I'm over here and I'm over there, but if you just bear with me, it will all make sense. Wanted: a few Gap men. In my military days, it stated that as always, the Marines, you know, a few good men. And they were hard charges, and they were tough. I was an Army man, so we were tough as well. But when you're wanted, I'm reminded of the old Westerns when they used to post a sign of the outlaw stating that wanted, dead or alive. Dead or alive. And even now, sometimes if you go to the post office, you see these lists of the FBI's most wanted. These men or women are wanted for doing something that was bad or that was evil. That want means that there was a need or a desire to bring them to justice. They're being searched for or looked for because of something that they have done wrong. But my title today is, I don't want men to be wanted because they're doing something wrong. I want you to be wanted because God is looking for someone to do good exploits, and to make intercession for his people. So I'm saying today that God wants a few Gap men. I want to make it plain, and I'm going to let you know a little bit about my age when you hear this, and for my young people, you might have to go Google it, because back in my day, there were songs that were out that said that, you know, the women were talking about, I want muscle, you know, they wanted men with muscles, and then there was a song saying that it was raining men. And that song was out there. And then for my young hipsters at that time, there was a song talking about, I need me a roughneck. Yeah, I'm stating my age, but young people, y'all could Google those songs. But it was saying, I need myself a roughneck. And they were talking about a certain kind of man that they wanted. But God here is today looking for a Gap man. One that can stand in the middle and bridge the gap and not be afraid of anything. not be afraid of the world views and how society views them. He wants a man that will stand up and tell the truth and speak it like it is. This takes me to a movie about the Marines. Many of y'all may have seen this movie. It's called A Few Good Men. If y'all haven't seen it, go and view it. I'm going to just take an excerpt out of a part of a conversation. I'm not going to read it all because he says a few things that I can't say in church. But I remember when they had the colonel on the stand. And they were trying him because they had basically hazed a Marine to death. Because they saw that he wasn't fit to do the things that a Marine was called to do. Basically, they were saying, you were soft and we got to toughen you up. And through their process, they killed him. But the colonel was saying that it was necessary that we had to do those things because of what we had to accomplish to guard the wall. And we read that scripture there about the wall and there being a gap in the wall. Colonel Jessup is on the stand and the attorney comes in and says, I want the truth. And the colonel looks up at him and says, you can't handle the truth. God is saying to men today, I need some men that can stand up for truth. I want you to fight for truth. I want you to know truth. And the colonel says, you can't handle the truth. He says, son, we live in a world that has walls. And those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. And then the colonel says, who's going to do it? You? Because he was telling the lieutenant, he said, you going to do it, lieutenant? Because he's saying, you just an attorney, you soft, you don't have what it takes to stand on a wall, to take darts and to take bullets and grenades and fire. You don't have it. When times get hard, you want to stay in your office. But I'm out there in the nighttime, in the dirt, in the mud, with things flying. Son, I'm going to do that, not you. He says, I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. Men, I want you to understand that as God has given us dominion, we have a great responsibility and we have to stand in the gap. He goes on to say, you weep and you for Santiago and you curse the Marines. Not that I'm condoning his behavior, but I'm using this to make a point. He says, you have that luxury, the luxury of not knowing what I know. So those of you who have been in the military, there's some things that your government does and the things that they have to do that you don't even know about and you don't want to know about because it lets you sleep at night. And then he says, I know that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And he says, my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. He says, you're trying me, you're putting me on the stand, testing my intestinal fortitude. But he says, you asking for the truth, but you don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about, at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. And what I'm saying, I'm taking it from here. Men, and oh my God, men, God wants you on that wall. God needs us on that wall. Why? The truth today is we need men to stand up and be men. We have women and children hurting and crying. Men, we need you on that wall. We want you on that wall because there's a hole, there's a breach, and things are coming in and out that are destroying my mind. There are things that are coming out that are taking away our homes and our society that require the things that only a man can do. We have a God saying that I need a man to stand up and to speak out so that I will not destroy this nation for a lack of knowledge. a lack of knowledge about me, about the God that I am. You see, because we're in a society right now that this world, through mass marketing and media and clothing, has transformed the minds of some of our males so much so that they believe that they have to become a woman to get through life. They have to change in their mind their identity in order to cope, because there was not a man to fill the gap to teach him that that's not the way. They rather, when they face challenges, rather than assume and their responsibility, they'd rather assume the identity that is not their genetic makeup in order to cope. This is a problem when we have a man who wants to be a woman. These cufflinks that I'm wearing today reminds me of a friend, a real man. I miss him so. He died on last year, and his family saw fit that they would give me certain items, and he gave me cufflinks, and I wear these, and I look at these amongst the many things, because he was a real man who stood in the gap for me. He was a man who was firm in his beliefs in God, and he lost it all but yet held fast to God, so much so that he was only a few payments away from owning his house. It burned down, but he did not curse God. He stood fast. He had three girls that he raised, and he was in college at the time, but he had to drop out of college, work multiple jobs to raise his family. He sacrificed his education so that he could stand in the gap, so that the women in his life could see what a man would do for his family. He was not afraid to bring a young man aside like myself and say, "Boy, sit yourself down. I need to talk to you a little bit." Are there any men here today that are willing to grab another man and say, "I need you to sit yourself down and listen to me, because I've been places that you're trying to get to, and I'm going to fill in that gap for you"? We need men to do that. And he was not afraid to speak his mind. And I thank God for the late Obadiah Sim. Because I want my men to understand that gap, GAP, stands that God always provides. No matter what's going on in your life, God always provides. Gap also stands to, it symbolizes to me that God answers prayer. And see, God will answer prayer, but we have to get down on our knees and consult him. And then gap also stands for me that we need to go after people. We have to go after those men who were lost. I'm reminded of how Abraham went after Lot. He had to go and get him and bring him back. And gap also stands for God allows problems. God allows problems. And I'm talking, I told y'all, just bear with me, because this thing is on my heart, because we have to do that which is right, because if we don't do it, God is saying, "I'm going to destroy the people for lack of knowledge." You look around and you see all of our men, our women are falling down or just losing it. Why? Because they don't know no better, because we who do won't teach. We act like we afraid. What you afraid of? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What in the world are you afraid of? Are you afraid to die? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Are you a saint? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What are you scared of? If I go home, I'm going to glory. It's all over. I need men to stand in the gap to teach these young boys how to be men. God is saying today, I need a man to serve me. I need a man who will love me. I need a man who will obey me, because if he does all of this, he can take care of the breaches and the gap. You may say, Pastor, you're talking to me about gaps and holes. Yes, I am. Gaps, spaces that are there. And men, y'all know I love me some football. I don't know what happened to Seattle last night. But I love me some football. But there's this thing called gap integrity. In football, you have to maintain gap integrity. Because if you don't maintain gap integrity, things will happen. For those who don't understand football, those guys, the offensive guys down, the defensive guys down in that offensive line, getting ready to get that ball to the quarterback or to the running back, and the defense is making shifts. And what they're looking for the little holes between the offensive linemen. Because they say that if I can shoot the gap, if I can get between those spaces, I can get the quarterback. I can get the running back. Basically, if I can shoot the gaps, I can shut down the play. But if the offensive linemen understand gap integrity, meaning that as a lineman, I need to be where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, nobody will get through. What am I saying, men? We need to be in the right place at the right time, appointed by God, so nobody can shoot the gaps and get in your house. So nobody can shoot the gaps and get in the minds of your children. Somebody, we got to be there to maintain gap integrity so that he cannot shut us down. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. But thank God we have somebody who stands in the gap. Man by the name of Jesus. He stands in the gap for us. He is an example, because I'm reminded over in Luke 22:31. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But then Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, he says what? Strengthen your brethren. I said, God, a gap stands for God answers prayer. Men, as intercessors, we need to be praying for one another. We need to pray for one another so that what? We can strengthen the brethren. Because if we get stronger, and we hold hands and we lock arms and we stand as a hedge around our homes, around our families, nobody can shoot the gaps. And if nobody can shoot the gaps, there's nothing that they can tweet, Facebook, or Snapchat that will damage the minds of our children. I know y'all want me to sit down, but this thing is on my heart. Men, we have to be men. We got to stop. Oh, Jesus. We got to stop being Adam men. And we have to start being men like David. I'm going to break it down for you. Genesis chapter 3, 11 through 12. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? He talking to Adam. So we can't be an Adam man. Because look at what Adam did. He said, and the man said, oh, no, 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 no. You you can't say this, right? And the man said, that woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. What did I tell you? I'm getting ready to step on some toes, but women don't say, what did I tell you? Not what she told you and you, what did I tell you? We cannot be Adam men. We have to hold fast and have accountability and responsibility for our own actions. If he would have just said, Lord, I ate it. I did it. No, he want to pass the blame. We cannot pass the blame on somebody else because we're in a situation that we're in. Man up and say, I made a mistake. Man up. Man up. Thank you, Lord. I won't say that. Can't be an Adam man trying to pass blame to someone else. In order to be a man that stands in the gap, you must take accountability. You must take responsibility to maintain gap integrity. You got to be like David. Over in 2 Samuel, chapter 6, David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant home, finally. And chapter 6, verse 14, it says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the houses of Israel brought up the ark with the Lord shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Paraphrase here, David bringing the Ark of the Covenant home. Man out there, he the king, top of the food chain, CEO, big dog, the leader. He out there dancing before the Lord, praising and worshiping like there was no tomorrow. How many of us men are willing to get up there and praise and worship and dance like there's no tomorrow? Y'all see me, I know I can't sing, but I'll make a joyful noise. But see, you got to understand David here. He did it so much so that he danced out of his clothes. See, I'm setting the stage on why you need to be a David man and not an Adam man, because he danced out of his clothes. I'm not just talking about getting naked here. I'm just a little bit more. Because when he goes down, he returned to his house. And there was his Eve by the name of Michal, the daughter of Saul, the one who he married. You know, she came out to meet David. And she said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of his handmaid, of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Basically, he's saying, you the king. What in the world are you doing out there dancing like ain't no tomorrow with your clothes coming off, just embarrassing me? Now you got to grab them like you got some, man. Because David said unto Michal, verse 21, it was before the Lord. I wouldn't dance for you. He's talking to his wife. I wouldn't dance for you. It was before the Lord which chose me before your father. Her father was the king, Saul, but then David coming up, he said, so you got to be a man to stand up and say some stuff like this. He's like, look, God chose me before he chose your daddy. You coming in here talking this noise to me, talking about I'm dancing to my clothes, come on, and before all our house to appoint me ruler over. He chose me before you. He sat your daddy down and put me up, and you coming to talk to me like that, woman? You done lost your mind. See, I don't. You gotta stay with me now. You gotta stay with me. And he says, you know, I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own right, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children unto the day of her death. Paraphrasing. Woman, I wasn't dancing for you. I was praising the Lord. And if my praise bothers you, then so be it. But you thought you saw something then. You wait the next time. It's going to be more than that. And ain't nothing you can do about it. So you need to just go sit yourself down and let me praise the Lord. Because as for me and my house. But see, I don't want men to walk out with the wrong interpretation of this. I'm not telling you that this gives you a license to speak to your wife any old kind of way and be demanding and be a dictator. No, that's what I'm saying. See, you have to have an understanding of when to speak, and only a gap man can do this. Only a gap man, because a gap man knows God. And God knows him, and the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of him, and his wife knows that he knows the Lord. So she know when you speak in the truth. She knows when she's out of order. She knows when she needs to sit down, because God is moving. But only a gap man, a man who knows the Lord, can do that. And what does it require to be a gap man? You got to come to the realization that I cannot do it by myself. See, men, we have to get to a place in our lives that 1 Corinthians 11 and 3 makes sense. States, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of God, and the head of Christ is God. I'm focusing in on here that the head of the man is Christ. Men, you have to be subject to somebody. Oh, Jesus. Can't be like somebody I know who wants to run a country and not even submit to the laws of the land. But the head of every man is Christ. What is that saying? It's saying that as a gap man, a man who stands and guards the wall, he understands and realizes that his strength comes from God, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me, it's not my power, but it is Christ. The problem is, men don't want to be saved. Men don't want to get the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. They want to operate in what they know. But my Bible tells me there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. If you want to live, you need the Spirit of God inside of you. And then you will understand what the prophet was speaking about over in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What is that saying, man? I need to come under the lordship of Christ in order to lead and fill in the gap, so that I won't be an Adam man, but I can be a David man. And then I can be like Moses, who was an intercessor, over in Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. The Lord was about to destroy Israel. He was about to destroy them because of what they were doing while Moses was up there receiving the law. But the Lord said, over in Exodus chapter 32, verse 7 through 14, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people. See, God, you got to catch this. You got to catch this. He told Moses, you got to get down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. You got to think back. When he was bringing them out of Israel, he told Moses to go tell Pharaoh what? Let my people go. But now they done messed up. God sent Moses, your people. He said, your people done corrupted themselves. You need to get down. But then in verse 9, Moses and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. What's happening here? God is saying to Moses, them your people, I'm tired of them. They done been doing all kind of stuff. Guess what? Just leave me alone for just a few minutes. Just let me have my way with them just a few minutes, and I'm going to wipe them out. But guess what? I'm going to make of you a great nation. See, you've been all right with me. You've been hanging out with me. You know my ways. So I'm going to keep you around. I'm going to wipe them out and make a new nation with you. Now, some of y'all look at that, man, I would just say, go ahead, God. Start all over with me at the top. Ooh. But no, Moses was a gap man, because he didn't take everything about himself. He didn't just look at himself. He looked and he saw beyond what he could see. He saw that these people were messed up and they were doing things against God. But he looked beyond that and he said, no, Lord, you can't do that. Why? Because what did he do? Moses flipped the script. Moses besought the Lord. There he is again. I'm praying. I'm talking to you, God. That's what a gap man does. And he said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people? And Moses said, these ain't my people. These are your people. I'm putting it back on you. And he says, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. He's saying, God, I didn't bring them out here. You did. What does a gap man do? A gap man talks to God and brings God's own word back to him. In order to do that as a gap man, that means you have to know scripture. You have to know the word of God in order to say, God, no, this is what you said. You said that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said that you would bring me out. You said that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You said. And then God, Moses said to God, he said, hold up, now wait a minute. He said, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants. He throwing it up in God's face right now. See, you got to be a man. It take a man to stand up and talk to God and throw his own words back in his face. You ever have a conversation with somebody? Don't you use my words against me. How you going to bring up my stuff against me? That's what you got to do, but you got to be a man enough to do it. You got to know you know God and you have a relationship, and he will give you the permission to talk to him. He said, okay, come on. You've been listening. Talk to me. Tell me my words. And he said, thy servants, whom to thou by thine own self said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and as and all this land that I have spoken of, will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he brought unto the people. God changed his mind. But you got to look at the wording here. See, up there God says that I may consume them. He didn't make a divine decree, so he has the opportunity to change his mind if a God man, a gap man, comes before him and talks to him. But you see how Moses reminded him, he said, you said that I will. See, he didn't say I will destroy them because my anger. He said, I may. But here he said, Moses said, you can't destroy them because you said you will multiply their seed. And when God says he will do something, gap man, he will do it. So he repented. So what does that mean for a gap man? A gap man can talk to God and to get him to change his mind about things he had not declared or decreed. A gap man reminds God of his word and understands that God will fulfill it. Y'all getting anything out of this, man? I know it's tough. It's hard being a man. It's hard being a man. But I'm getting ready to bring it home now, because Moses himself was an intercessor. And the thing about a man, I told you, he's a praying man, a gap man, because he needs to get an answer from God. He is a man in whom God allows problems to come into his is life. Remember I said earlier we have men who are running from problems so much so that they want to be a woman in order to escape having the responsibility of being a man? But God allows problems and challenges. I must go back to David over in Psalm 119, 71 through 73. He says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Oh, it got quiet, man. Don't want no pain. He said, "It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." You got it. You got to understand this. David is saying, it's good that I went through that. Because when I went through that, I learned who you really were as God. I learned your word so that I hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I learned so much about you while I was down in the valley that I know that you are a God who will deliver. I understand now that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide no matter what is going on in my life. So why does GAP stand for God allows problems? See, men, sometimes we just have to get knocked in the head so that we understand we got to listen to somebody. You got that young boy that's raised up in your house and he wants to bow up at you a little bit. Every now and again, you got to knock him through the wall and say, "Ain't but one man in here. Ain't but one man in this house." And when you think you're old enough to be a man, grown folk ought to be grown and you need to hit the door. So God says, "Oh, you want to be a man without God? I'm going to let you be a man without God, and I'm going to let you run into this wall." God allows problems sometimes that he can reveal a righteous man. See, there was Job who did anything wrong, but Satan was having a conversation with God, and God allowed Job to go through so much. It wasn't that Job had did anything wrong, but that test came to reveal righteousness on the inside of Job. And at the end of his trials, he had double. But also, God allows problems to make you a GAP man. Reminded of Joseph. Brothers didn't like him. Dreaming, "You're going to be all over me, above me, rule me. Let's get rid of this man." Who he think he is? Got rid of him, sold him. He's in slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. He gets accused of trying to mess with the man's wife. He's down in jail. The bakers and everything, they just forsake him, leave him down there. He interpreting dreams and he's going through all this. But never did you hear him saying, "My, oh my, why me, oh God." He was understanding that something is bigger than this. I just don't understand it. I just don't see it. But men, sometimes we have to go through troubles, trials, and tribulations that we don't understand. Sometimes God has to strip us of everything. He has to strip us of everything that we can hold on to, everything that we ever knew, because he wants to make us a GAP man appointed for such a time as this. He took everything from Joseph, but he set him up because he became second in charge in a time of famine. When his brothers and his family needed something to eat, they didn't have it. They had to come to him who they did not know who he was to fill in the gap. So there was Joseph, a man who had gone through trials, been accused, abused, did nothing wrong. But God took him through that because he was supposed to be able to stand in the gap so that the children of Israel will survive. Sometimes God is taking you through to put you in a place so that you can help others survive. And last, God allows problems to show you that you need him. He tells you, "Sometimes I got to put you in a place to where you can't get out and you can't do anything because you need me." Reminded of Moses, children of Israel at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army behind them, mountains on both sides, nothing but the sea in front of them. What could they do? Nothing but trust in God. So as I close, a gap man trusts in God. Gap man understands that he's needed for such a time as this. And he understands that if I submit myself unto God, that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And I like it when he goes down and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's not running. He's walking. He's not running. He's walking. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life as a gap man. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Gap men, we need you in the house of the Lord. Let us all stand.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan, you are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.